Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time. Tea time lecture.
The Fight for the Queen, Part 2. Sir Bors left and rode to Sir Lancelot, who was with the hermit, Sir Brasias, and told him of this adventure. "Ah," said Sir Lancelot, "this has befallen as I would have it, and therefore I pray to you, make ready to do battle, but delay the fight as long as you can, that I may appear. For I am sure that Sir Mador is a hot knight, and the longer he waits, the more impatient he will be for the combat." "Sir," answered Sir Bors, "let me deal with him. Doubt not you shall have all your will." And he rode away and returned to the court. Soon all knew that Sir Bors would be the queen's champion, and many knights were displeased with him. But there were a few who held the queen to be innocent. Sir Bors spoke to them all and said, "It were shameful, my fair lords, if we suffered the most noble queen in the world to be disgraced openly, not only for her sake, but for the king's." But they answered him, "As for our lord King Arthur, we love him and honour him as much as you do. But as for Queen Guinevere, we love her not, for she is the destroyer of good knights." "Fair lords," said Sir Bors, "you shall not speak such words, for never yet have I heard that she was the destroyer of good knights. But at all times, as far as I ever knew, she maintained them and gave them many gifts. Therefore it were a shame to us all if we suffered our noble king's wife to be put to death, and I will not suffer it. So much I will say, that the queen is not guilty of Sir Patrice's death, for she owed him no ill will, and bade him and us to the dinner for no evil purpose, which will be proved hereafter. And in any case, there was foul dealing among us." "We may believe your words," said some of the knights, but others held that he spoke falsely. The days passed quickly by until the evening before the battle, when the queen sent for Sir Bors and asked him if he was ready to keep his promise. "Truly, madam," answered he, "I shall not fail you, unless a better knight than I come to do battle for you. Then, madam, I am discharged of my promise." "Shall I tell this to my lord Arthur?" said the queen. "If it pleases you, madam," answered Sir Bors. So the queen went to the king and told him what Sir Bors had said, and the king bade her to be comforted, as Sir Bors was one of the best knights of the Round Table. The next morning the king and queen and all manner of knights rode into the meadow of Westminster, where the battle was to be, and the queen was put into the charge of the high constable, and a stout iron stake was planted and a great fire made about it, at which the queen should be burned if Sir Mador de la Porte won the fight. For it was the custom in those days that neither fear nor favour, love nor kinship, should hinder right judgment. Then came Sir Mador de la Porte, and swore before the king that the queen had done to death his cousin Sir Patrice, and he would prove it on her knight's body. Sir Bors likewise made answer that Queen Guinevere had done no wrong, and that he would make good with his two hands. "Then get you ready," said Sir Mador. "Sir Mador," answered Sir Bors, "I know you for a good knight, but I trust to be able to withstand your malice, and I have promised King Arthur and my lady the queen that I will do battle for her to the uttermost, unless there come forth a better knight than I am." "Is that all?" asked Sir Mador. "But you must either fight now or own that you are beaten." "Take your horse," said Sir Bors, "for I shall not tarry long." And Sir Mador then rode into the field with his shield on his shoulder and his spear in his hand, and he went up and down, crying unto King Arthur, "Bid your champion come forth if he dare." At that Sir Bors was ashamed and took his horse and rode to the end of the lists. But from a wood nearby appeared a knight riding fast on a white horse, bearing a shield full of strange devices. When he reached Sir Bors, he drew rein and said, "Fair knight, be not displeased, but this battle must go to a better knight than you, for I have come a great journey to fight this fight, as I promised when I spoke with you last, and I thank you heartily for your goodwill." So Sir Bors went to King Arthur and told him that a knight had come who wished to do battle for the queen. "What knight is he?" asked the king. "That I know not," said Sir Bors, "but he made a covenant with me to be here on this day, and now I am discharged," said Sir Bors. Then the king called to that knight and asked him if he would fight for the queen. "For that purpose I came hither," replied he. "And therefore, Sir King, delay me no longer, for as soon as I have ended this battle, I must go hence, as I have many matters elsewhere. And I would have you know that it is a dishonor to all the knights of the Round Table to let so noble a lady and so courteous a queen as Queen Guinevere to be shamed amongst them." The knights who were standing round looked at each other at these words, and wondered much what man this was who took the battle upon him, for none knew him save Sir Bors. "Sir," said Sir Mador de la Porte unto the king, "let me know the name of him with whom I have to do." But the king answered nothing, and made a sign for the fight to begin. They rode to the end of the lists, and couched their spears, and rushed together with all their force. And Sir Mador's spear broke in pieces, but the other knight's spear held firm, and he pressed on Sir Mador's horse till it fell backward with a great fall. Sir Mador sprang from his horse, and placing his shield before him, drew his sword, and bade his foe dismount from his horse also, and do battle with him on foot, which the unknown knight did. For an hour they fought thus, as Sir Mador was a strong man, and had proved himself the victor in many combats. At last the knight smote Sir Mador, grovelling to his knees, and the knight stepped forward to have struck him flat upon the ground. Therewith Sir Mador suddenly rose and smote the knight upon the thigh, so that the blood ran out fiercely. But when the knight felt himself wounded and saw his blood, he let Sir Mador rise to his feet, and then gave him such a buffet on the helm that this time Sir Mador fell the length on the earth, and the knight sprang to him to unloose his helm. At this Sir Mador prayed for his life, acknowledging that he was overcome, and confessed that the queen's innocence had been proved. "I will only grant your life," said the knight, "if you will proclaim publicly that you have foully slandered the queen, and that you make no mention, on the tomb of Sir Patrice, that ever Queen Guinevere consented to his murder." "All that I will do," said Sir Mador, and some knights took him up and carried him away to heal his wounds. And the other knight went straight to the foot of the steps where sat King Arthur, and there the queen had just come, and the king and the queen kissed each other before all the people. When King Arthur saw the knight standing there, he stooped down to him and thanked him, and so likewise did the king, and they prayed him to put off his helmet, and commanded wine to be brought. And when he unlaced his helmet to drink, they knew him to be Sir Lancelot du Lac. Then Arthur took the queen's hand and led her to Sir Lancelot and said, "Sir, I give you the most heartfelt thanks of the great deed you have done this day for me and my queen." "My lord," answered Sir Lancelot, "you know well that I claim the right to ever to fight your battles and those of my lady the queen, for it was you who gave me the high honor of knighthood, and that same day my lady the queen did me a great service, else I should have been put to shame before all men. because in my hastiness I lost my sword, and my lady the queen found it, and gave it to me when I had sore need of it. Therefore, my lord Arthur, I promised her on that day that I would be her knight, in right or in wrong. I owe you great thanks, said the king, and sometime I hope to repay you. The queen, beholding Sir Lancelot, wept tears of joy for her deliverance, and felt bowed to the ground with sorrow at the thought of what he had done for her when she had sent him away with unkind words. Then all the knights of the Round Table and his kinsmen drew near to him and welcomed him, and there was great mirth in the court.